Hey guys, thanks once again for joining us for the Kazumatsuri Clinic Book Club podcast. Today we're here to talk about the Komura route, written by Jun Maeda.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting route, because this, if you could really call it a route, like, I think this would explain why they opted to calling them scenarios in the actual game, is because there isn't really a route here. It's kind of just, we're on Nagus's route for a while, and things don't work out, and you think you're going to get a bad ending, and then you suddenly get an ending about Komura, and it just kind of pops out of nowhere.
It's the Komura scene.
The Komura scene.
Well, the Komura 5 minutes, but, you know.
Yeah, I like how Cannon described this route. He said it wasn't a route, it was a scene. I feel like that's probably, that's pretty valid.
It's so the Komura post-it note at the end of a route. Let's put it that way.
Today we're here to discuss it with our special guest, DMB.
Nice to meet you.
It's your first podcast, isn't it?
It is indeed my first one. It's my first, thank you guys.
Welcome to the jungle, baby. You're gonna die.
Oh, God.
Well, let's get started with your 30-second recap. Don't let us down, DMB.
Let's see if I can do it properly this time. All right. Okazaki sees his life change forever after a meeting with Furukawa Nagisa, a shy girl who will bring him back from the dark side of the school life. After struggling to have the drama club reestablished for Nagisa, Tomoya is forced to turn on Komura-sensei for advising. Unfortunately, the teacher is already taken by the evil forces of the choir club, and Nagisa gives up on her wish to become the drama queen and becomes romantically involved with our hero. During this time, Sunurala challenges the choir club into a bet to regain his pride. He is, however, defeated and gives up too. Then, one thing led to another, and Komura turns out to be a really important element of Tomoya and Yuhai's past high school life, so they thank him formally after graduation, acquiring his orb of light.
Close enough. That's good
all
enough.
Shippasta!
It's the first time I do it without stumbling on any words, which is pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it was that's a good recap, especially since it is more or less all those Nagisa info was more or less part of Komura's route, and it's actually the first. Yeah. Well, I mean, the first time we're meeting Komura technically, although it's Fuko route when he's the first time.
Well, you do see him like once during Tomoyo's route, right? I think during Tomoyo's route, or you can at some point you just stumble upon him, and there's like one or two sentences you exchange with him, but that's pretty
exactly. See, his face never popped up in the Sunohara route. Like, he was referred to.
Yeah, I don't think they actually showed him. They just referred him to as...
So, like, all this time we've been wondering about this weird teacher who's been in the shadows, who's apparently important to Sunohara and Tomoya, and now we finally get to realize what's the big deal. Who is he?
It's kind of interesting that kind of a major, like, it could be a plus or a minus, depending on how you look at it, I guess. One of the major, aspects of this route is that, like, everyone's like, this guy didn't get very much screen time. Who is this guy? Where'd he come from? But when you think about it from an experience point of view, that's kind of exactly the point, isn't it? Like...
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree because
he's fading into non-existence, and like they realize some things, and they bring him back up. It's like, oh yeah, that guy, and that's exactly
how
you see it. You're like, oh, who's this dude? You know?
Yeah, I think the important part, like, I think that's actually quite important that we see him showing up every now and then, because what we learned from this route is that Komura has been there for a while. You know, he likes to, how could I put it? He likes to help conflicted children go through hard times in lives, and he's not going there to tell them what to do with their life. He's there to support them, and I think that's very important, because when you see him in other group chewing up, you know he's there. You don't really know him, and you don't know what he's doing, but now we learn that what he did since the beginning was actually support Tomoya and Yuhai in their difficult years. And yeah, I think it's pretty important to notice.
I think that also applies to a lot of people in our lives. Like, I'm sure that everyone has one person in their lives that they don't even realize that has helped them throughout their life. Like, if that person didn't help them, they wouldn't be who they are now. It's just that they always go unnoticed, the same way that Komura goes unnoticed for most of the game. And I guess this kind of plays into that. Like, it makes you realize who in my life helped me in that
way? It's very easy to take random acts of kindness or these like seemingly small relationships or small run-ins with these specific people in our lives that we don't. You almost take it for granted, like,
yeah,
because you don't realize how genuine their like desire to actually do something for you and their accomplishments that they've done for you, like, it's
yeah
something yeah, and... that you don't think about, and all this really does, and as far as that is, it does, it makes you think about that, and it's kind of, it's fascinating. Yeah. But it makes you think about some other things too. It makes you think about some other things too. That's why I like to describe this route as, it's not about specific content in this route, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say that this route or this scene or whatever couldn't have used more content. It absolutely could have.
Yep.
There is enough here to have made a very fascinating story, even just like maybe like, you know, a 1-2,000 line thing, because one of the other smaller scenarios in Clannad would have fit really, really well. But I kind of like that they did something small here, and I don't know if it's intentional or not, because, I mean, there are parts of it that feel rushed, but yeah, I honestly don't know what the actual writer intent for that was.
You could definitely interpret it as intentional.
Yeah, and there's always, like a difference between how you interpret it and how it was supposed to be, like, how it was conceived by the author. When Jun Maeda wrote this route, and how we interpret it are totally different point of view of the character and of the route itself, so maybe the intention's totally, like, something different from what you get, but...
I find this route painfully poetic, is what I was trying to get towards. Like... It's like I said, it's not about the content. It's not about, you know, giving you a book or a story. It's like a poem. It's like a very small thing that just, once you look at it, it's like a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? Where just this small instance is, or just one experience is enough to, like, they don't have to tell you the entire story of Komura and Tomoya and Tsunahara and what he did at his other school. They don't have to tell you the whole story. They just have to give you the idea, and it's enough. It's enough to make you feel exactly what it wants to make you feel. And I felt it. Like, it was definitely very emotionally moving.
Yeah, that's... I don't know about you guys, but I was getting teary-eyed just reading.
Oh, absolutely.
No, especially at the end, when they go and thank him and bow to him, these two guys who we see at the beginning totally disregard everything, and now suddenly they're like, hey, this guy made an important enough decision, or like difference in our life, for us to bow in front of him, which is a huge sign of respect.
Yeah.
And to tell you that he was important. It's specifically them, too. It's specifically them, too, because nobody else was going to Komura. It was like, okay, we're the only two people here that can help, like, help Komura to feel satisfied about what he's done at this place for the last 6 years, just doing basically nothing, sitting around and getting ready to retire. But he has these two accomplishments, the two things that he did, or was able to move forward.
And they weren't even planning on doing that traditional bow to any of their teachers, because they felt like their school life there was kind of a waste. But it kind of like says that they needed Komura as much as Komura needed them, because, as you said, no one else went to Komura because he was just sitting there doing nothing. And
it was like a validation for him, I think. And that's, they even go on to say that, like, in their little epilogue about how he was finally able to, you know, he's going to be able to live out the rest of his life really happy, like, in peace, because he knows that that time wasn't a waste at all.
It's one last hurrah before retiring.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's her face? Fuko's sister even tell him, like, you must feel very not proud, but special being the last student Komura ever taught to, because this guy is apparently really important from what we hear from her, because he was in a school full of delinquent and he used it to help them a lot, and now that he's in a school full of, you know, still like more straight up people,
perfect children,
he doesn't get to conceal as much as help as much as he used to, you know, give advice and put people back on the right path, and it's his gift, it's what he loves to do,
happy.
Yeah, so I think these two guys like prove to him that he succeeded and he made them better people and made a difference in their life. It confirms to him that he did something like it works. He did something and it worked. It also confirms that, you know, it wasn't a waste of time and that they appreciate it. And I think that's That's why we get the Orb of Light. Not necessarily because of, you know, well, it makes him really happy. Like, deep inside, it gets him, because it's not just that, hey, I helped two other kids, is they wanted it. They needed that, and I gave them something they needed, and they show appreciation because I made a difference. I'm someone important for them, and they want to show me that I'm important and that I did something good.
And I think that's important in any career, actually. Like, that validation that, hey, what you did was actually something we needed. It's not just something that we pay you for. It's not just your job. It's something that helped someone one way or another. And I guess...
I realize that so much. Oh, shit. That hit me so hard. Like, just the idea of finding what is your gift and, like, living just for that one thing to make someone else happy. Like, in that also, it's
seeing,
like, it's a happiness spiral, man. It's a happiness spiral. Like, something about
that's
that validation.
That's the happiness spiral right there.
And then, God, it's the best feeling in the world.
And two, like, one of the most important thing to mention is how he made them met. Like, Shinohara and Okazaki.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's something they do remember, because at some point they're like, oh yeah, you remember that? How did we meet exactly? Oh, I remember it was that and that, but do you remember the teacher? Oh yes, of course I remember him. He made a difference. He was important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't forget him.
They didn't even
of that
remember
scene.
The name of their... They didn't even know the name of their homeroom teacher.
Yeah, they didn't.
Oh yeah.
That was funny.
No. Because this guy just dared, you know, to pick on them, and he never helped them, really.
Yeah.
He just
scolded
them whenever he could.
What really got me with this route is, you know, I finished high school quite a few years ago now, and it's making me really remember back to those days, and, like, I just think about all the teachers that, you know, have helped me in some way through my life, and I just wonder what they're doing now, and if, like, if they still spare a moment to think about me sometimes. It makes you wonder.
I... You know what? I'm gonna tell you a story. Tell you that... Nine times out of ten, probably 10 times out of 10 that they do. And I bet you that even if you went back and they're still wherever they were and you asked for, like, a visitation or something, then they would recognize you right away. Because Komura says something really fascinating. He says, like, all of his students are like it's his children. Like, it's the future. Like, it's these people who need to succeed in life. And Komura said something so fascinating to me as well. Four member Takafumi. We've brought this up before in another podcast about Clannad so far and about school life, if I remember correctly. Is Coco explains it to where school is. Oh, hang on. What's the word they use? It's a very, very good explanation.
I think I know what
they're talking
about.
It's a microcosm of life. Komura views school to be. And it's that school is not merely a place where you go to learn about, you know, information like book smarts and stuff, right? You also get experiences, you get fights and hardships,
you
learn
get a social life.
Different ideologies and social lives, you learn about different backgrounds, and you learn about different goals, and some things meld and some things don't. There's just all these crazy things about actual just life that is so important about our school days that we take with us for the rest of our lives. And these teachers that we spend every single day with are, like, extremely important in that. All of my teachers definitely helped mold me. It's hard to say that they didn't. Especially if they kind of help you to see that spark, you know, or that something that you want to run towards. But at any rate, towards the story, when I graduated, I didn't think too much of it, I guess. I mean, it was cool. I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm free, I'm an adult now, and stuff like that. I made it this far, and there was a little bit I took for granted, but at the same time, I was still, like, really happy that I was able to do what I was able to do, and there were a lot of people that were really proud of me that I was able to do. It's just, you think it's a small thing, but it's not. I mean, dropout rates are ridiculous. So when you're able to actually get through it all, and you've gone through all those experiences, an extremely rewarding thing. But when I graduated, we have a civic center in town where we did our graduation. It was big, tons of people, like ridiculous amount of people. The crowds were just nutty, and I was walking down the ramp, and I ran to my family and stuff, and you know, we were taking pictures and having fun, and I turn around, and there is just this group of people that I had not seen in like 4-5 years at the time. They were my middle school teachers, and they were all there. And they came to see people, and they saw me, and they recognized me immediately, and they wanted to know what was going on, what I was doing, and we just talked about stuff, and it just blew my mind that after all those years, that they kept track of their classes, and they went to these graduations, and they went and they found the people that they taught and that were special to them, and that they wanted to see where they were going in life. Because when I was in middle school, our school had these weird, like, the school was, like, cut up into, like, teams for some reason. I have no idea why. I guess it's because there are too many students or something. There's too many students. Well, it was middle school. But, like, there were just, like, too many people or something, I guess. So they kind of had people segmented around. And in the middle of my year, I was so miserable. I was not having a good time at school. In the middle of the year, they segmented us into, like, mid-season, to where a bunch of students would be going to a new team with, like, new teachers to be taught in, like, a different area of the school. And I ended up getting picked from it, and I was just, like, it completely, like, flipped my schedule around. Like, I had completely different teachers, different classes, different schedule, everything. Everything got flipped around. And in that instance, school life became amazing. Like, I just instantly started meeting a bunch of extremely nice people, and all of the teachers were ridiculously good. Like, they were all so nice. And I had, like, these, like, it was like a professor, like, relationship with them. Like, everything that we went through, we were just talking to each other about everything. And so, even then, I knew that these teachers were ridiculously special. And that, like, completely changed my ideologies. And just because of that, looking at, you know, the graduation, they were there, and they still wanted to, they knew my name and everything, it just blew my mind. So like you said, like, I guarantee you those teachers still care. There's no doubt in my mind that that is their passion. That is their passion. They want to see you succeed. They want to go to your graduation and see all those students that they taught and see them going on with their lives. Like, I just know.
Yeah,
totally.
That kind of also strengthens that what you said about it's a 10 over 10, you guarantee that they will remember.
Yeah, it's hard to not think that, because every teacher I've ever known has, like, been that way. Like, they do want to see you succeed.
Also, on a different scale, if I can bring another, how's it called, story to this. I've been working with children a lot, and I guess it might be the same thing for teacher, but there's always, like, this, you know, this one guy who got difficulties, and he tries, or she tries, and never quite get it. But, you know, when you just give him a good comment, make them feel good about themselves, and then they go and succeed, and go with other people, have fun, and then at the end of the day, like, at first you were like, I don't want to do this, but then at the end they come in, like, hey, thank you, I really enjoyed my day, or something like that. And you feel proud. And I think that's, and, like, years later, like, I used to work in summer camp, and there was this guy that went on my first year, and I only saw him back, like, a couple of years after, and I still remember his name, because this guy was special. Like, he had problems, he came from a problem family, but he came in at the beginning of summer, like, I don't want to be in this place, I was forced in there, and, you know, everybody really worked on him, and at the end he was like, I wanted to come back. Unfortunately, he couldn't, but, you know, it got to show, even years after, you still remember these people, and they still remember you. It goes both ways.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that's what, like, you're saying. It's not just limited to teachers in schools we're talking about here. We're talking about teachers as, like, a role in a person's life. Like, that can take any form. That can be, like, you know, a mentor, friends and family.
Just a general
that
mentor, can be, really.
Yeah, just, it can just be like a stranger you met one day that gave you some helpful advice, you know? And those people may often be forgotten, but we'd hope that the messages or the impact that they left on us won't be, like, so easily erased.
And that's why I say that's why I say random acts of kindness. I mean, there are so many different ways to change a person's life just by one little thing, whether it be art or a random act of kindness or like a donation or like being a blood donor.
Or just even introducing you to someone else.
Helping somebody find something at work. like if you're working in a retail place and somebody comes and is just like, yo, I'm looking for a thing, and you're like, alright, cool, I'm gonna help you find it. And then you give them like super cool service and stuff, and you end up just kind of talking about whatever, like that changes their life. Like they're gonna remember that experience, and that's really important. Stuff like that is just awesome. That's why this route is so freaking cool, man, because like it doesn't rely on content and a specific story. I mean, yes, it promotes and it explains the Tomoya and Sunahara thing. And I mean, Komura has his own story too, but it's just the experience that you can apply to a ridiculous amount of things. And you could, like I said, when I posted this in the topic, this is the thematic portions of this route of things that I could just talk about indefinitely. Like it's that deep, like less is absolutely more in this route. And it's fantastic.
We're going a lot deeper into this than I expect. But hey, what did you guys rate this route? Because I was just conflicted about giving my rating, so maybe you guys can say.
Oh man, I haven't rated it yet.
I was conflicted.
Okay. I gave it 4.
Alright, okay.
4 out of 5.
You know what? Fuck it, I'm gonna give it a 5.
Yay! I was conflicted.
It was pretty good. After this discussion, I changed my mind. Let's give it a 5.
I was conflicted.
I hadn't rated it yet.
I was trying to figure out a lot of things about this route. The first thing that came to mind, the very first thing I thought of that was problematic was, well, it feels like Nagisa route bad end. Like, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, something's weird. Like, this just seems like it popped out of nowhere. But that Coco scene completely changed everything when I actually looked into it a little bit. Because it's just a direct comparison. Like, it's clearly something that just popped into her head. Huh, you're talking about Nagisa. Me and her had this relationship thing. Here's something for you. Nagisa really appreciates me. She wants to, like, graduate and come see me and stuff. Like, that's cool. And this this person's really important to me. So, Komura, you're really important to him. And I'm pretty sure it's you, blah, blah, blah. Connected just perfectly. And that was the first thing. And then, obviously, boom, that's cleared up. It actually fits really well. And it's kind of a natural progression of things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's very atypical of, like, a Nakige structure where you have all these character roots and they're all, like, they're all self-contained stories, right? And they're all, like, well, some are shorter than others, but they're all quite lengthy and you can really dig into them. Here is just one little scene which doesn't need to overstay its welcome. You know, it doesn't need to stick around. It's just there. But the fact that it exists and the kind of message you get from it is so important. And I don't think that message will be any better or worse with, you know, making it longer. You know, it's just the whole point is that he is a side character. He is not an important character. But the fact that this scene exists and, you know, that we're able to be thankful for this person for all he's done for Sunahara and Tomoya, because without his help they wouldn't be where they are today. And I think that's beautiful.
Whenever you're talking about acts of kindness or just people who are kind to you and you're kind to them back in life, then maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's a lot less than what actually even happens in this route. Like, maybe you help somebody carry something to their car and then you say thanks to each other and then that's it. Like, you both are thankful for each other. That's it. Done. Boom. That's it. It's that simple. But it can change everything. Like, maybe that person was having a really shitty day and was like, wow, I hate humanity.
Yeah.
And then, like, this route is like one of those perfect, wow, restored faith in humanity kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
Random act of kindness, like you said earlier. Like,
But moving on from that, the other thing that I was troubled about.
I still didn't say my rating. No.
I was gonna say mine though.
What's your rating?
Okay,
so
alright. Go ahead, Biz.
The second problem I had was I was like Cannon said, this is a scene and not a route. And I felt like I was like, you know, maybe this was a missed opportunity. And I did think about that for a second. I thought about it very deeply, like maybe they didn't use the assets that they had very well and that they could have gone a lot further with this. And I think that's true. But, you know, I keep going back that they didn't need to. It still did exactly what it needed to do just fine. So, fuck it, I gave it 5, man. That's it's fantastic. It's perfect. No problems.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Got it.
I wouldn't change anything about it, I don't think.
Me neither. I think it's just fine the way it is.
As for me, like I said, I was conflicted because I definitely saw room for improvement. I didn't, not necessarily flaws, but I could imagine so many ways that it could have been better. And I was on the fence, like, how do I rate this? What should I give it? 3, 4, 5? And at the end of the day, I remembered my self-imposed rating mechanism. 3 is average, 4 is good, 5 is very good. And when I ask myself, and I will always answer this, did I think it was very good? Yes, I thought it was very good. That simply means yes, 5. And it goes against, like, I think one of the flaws that people, well, 2 people were saying on the forum, were that it tells, not shows. Like, they're saying how it tells the reader that, hey, this guy helped Tomoya and Sunohara a lot, etc., etc., and they think that they should have showed it in the VN. But I actually disagree with that, because I think that by this sort of telling the reader can actually think of many more opportunities that were never shown that it could have happened, you know? So it's
that's a really good point.
It violates the show not tell, but it also gives you a tell and then you can imagine. So I want to ask you guys, do you think that other than just Komura introducing Sunohara and Tomoe to each other, do you think that he helped them graduate in any other way? Like, I think that he genuinely lobbied, like, other teachers when they were ready to suspend Tomoya and Sunohara. He actually went to the other teachers and talked to the other teachers.
Absolutely.
Telling them, hey, you should give them a chance.
Yeah, that's why earlier I said that's important that he shows up in other routes, showing that, A, he's always there in background doing something that we do not see. Even in his own route, we do not see what he does, but he's there. He's doing something to make these 2 guys succeed.
And
I know. Let's look at this another way. His work isn't done. Like, we have this scene where, you know, they're trying to get him as the advisor for the drama club, and it didn't work out in this route. But we still have another route to go, guys. You know.
Yep. Oh, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe he's not done yet.
I also love Okazaki's reaction after hearing about Kimura's implication. At first he's like, well, I guess you can't judge people by appearance. But then he thinks about it while going back to his dorm, well, to Sunohara's dorm. And then he's like, I was really needed to sing that, because he gave it to Todd. Like, it was worth his time. So yeah, I think it's just, like, his reaction is basically like the reader, where at first you're like, oh, okay, guess this guy is important, but then you think about it, and you're like, well, you know, he's actually really important. He did important stuff, and like we've been talking for, what, half an hour right now about how important this guy is and how good of an example of random lack of kindness he is, and I love how the character actually has the same train of thought as the reader, when at first you're like, meh, but the more you think about it, the more, well, yeah, actually he was really important, and I'm glad he was around. Mm-hmm.
Because I personally was wondering, why haven't Sunohara and Tomoya been expelled yet? Or why haven't they been suspended yet? They've done so much stupid shit that in that kind
this
of
guy.
School, I think that would have gotten them in a lot of trouble even in their second year. You know?
Oh, totally.
I really love the imaginative aspect of there. That's cool. I actually agree with you a lot. I wouldn't have earlier, but I do, you're right. The tell and not show is actually far more beneficial in this case than showing.
Yeah. So you just have to open up, like, your imagination and try to think.
Think of it that way. I didn't think deeply of it that way earlier, because, I mean, if you know anything about me, I'm so big. I'm huge on that. Like,
yes, you are.
Like, me calling this, like, a poem of a root, like, it's poetic, is the only way I can think of it, is for that reason, because it's, like, it's like a perceptive piece of art. Like, you empathize with it in a different way, because that one experience is probably something different to you. It's going to be different to everybody, but it's actually something that almost anyone can apply that emotion to. God, that's awesome.
Well, actually, really, this discussion has opened my ambitious route, because before going in, if you go into forum, I said, what I said about Kimura is, I'm glad I finally see of Nagisa, but Kimura, I can't really even, like, tell anything about him because we didn't see enough of him. But after discussing it, it actually makes a lot of sense that, no, I can't say a lot about him. Why? Because it was written that way. And actually, it makes a lot of sense now. He's not supposed to be there.
Book club, baby.
Book clubs, baby. Woo!
Yeah. I wanted to say so much. I wanted to say this stuff on the forum, but I realized that if I said it, I wouldn't.
This guy was not written to be like a character we get to know a lot, because that's not his role in the story. This role is like this Avenger in the night fighting with a mask on, so we don't know what he's doing. But, you know, he's Batman, man.
Come
he's Batman.
On, Batman.
He's a clown. He's, Batman.
Guys,
he's a hero that Tomoya needs.
He's
the hero that Tomoya asked for.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good. This is a good time to point out that if you go back to the Fuko route now, you can actually get the 64 hit combo achievement.
That's nice.
And Komura joins in on that, and I think he knows some martial arts or something.
wait. They actually say this when what's her face? I can never remember her name. Fuko's sister. When she tells the story of Komura, she's like. Koko, sorry, I keep forgetting your name, but yeah, once she's telling the story, actually, she mentioned that, well, you know, he was strong back then, he had to kind of, like, he said, no, he wasn't, like, fighting the students, but at the same time, she's like, yeah, you know, he was able to defend himself.
I'm gonna have to put you on a burner, Aspirity, because Carfan just said something that is correct as the Tomoyo route.
Where is 64
hit combo?
Oh, did I say Fuko?
Yeah, I mean, do you see Fuko kicking people around? I wouldn't see Fuko kicking people around.
Fuko would be smashing starfish against people's heads.
Exactly. Well, actually, she does contribute to the kicking part.
Yeah. Well, yes, she does.
Yeah, that's why I got confused, yeah. But, no, there's also, like, some more Fuko scenes there, I think, I've been told, but I haven't found those yet.
In the Tomoya route?
Yeah. So, like, this would be a good time to, like, go back to all the funny stuff before we get into, like, the Nagisa and after story stuff, but yeah.
I want to make a commission request for someone to draw Komura as Batman, please.
Oh, yes.
All right, listeners,
you won't do it, I'll do it myself.
Don't let us down.
You
guys.
Don't do it. I will.
We believe in you.
Please do it.
Jesse, you don't want
like
me to do it.
Crouching on a statue or something, like on the gargoyle, I tell the Empire State Building, saying something like, "Give it your best." Oh, that would be perfect.
Because like the forum discussion, I just had a look at it. It's quite negative MP. Of this route.
Well, quite, yes, it is
a bit harsh. Like. But I'm glad, because I hope this podcast can help.
I think it has something to do with. It did
open mine at any rate.
With perception. They've been reading all these amazing roots, and they get hit like this. They don't understand.
I really like the way you put it. Like, it's a poem more than it is a story, you know?
Yeah.
It's just something to take at face value and just think about, you know?
This Komura story would fit very nicely into a little manga called Hibiki's Magic. That's how I feel.
Okay. Now I have to read Hibiki's Magic.
Like, I guess this was sort of referenced in the anime, but they could have done it so. Like, they could have just included a little bit more detail on Komura's past and stuff, and I would have been more satisfied with how they did.
That
would have
been nice.
Yeah. Because I definitely felt a lot more reading this than I did in the anime. Damn it, Komura. You're the best, man. I love that one scene where, like, Sunohara's like, "Don't you go dying before us, old man." He's like, "Don't say something
unreasonable." That's impossible.
Yeah, true.
Anyway. So nice. You know, that's like, they didn't really break character, but they were still able to express that genuine gratitude. Even though they hate the school, they can still thank Komura, and I think it's so nice. I don't know how to describe it other than, yeah, it's a warm fuzzy. It's a very beautiful root. I don't know if there's any more to say about it. Like, I guess there was one thing though. There was like that one scene with Coco where we had like a little flash of light, and you know, Tomori described like a feeling in his hand. Do you guys have any ideas about that?
About what?
Tomoya used a light because he made a wish for Fuko to get better.
That is essentially what happened, yeah. I mean...
Oh, it's a part of
this. Everyone agrees that that's what happened.
You want me to explain it? I don't fucking know, but that's basically what happened, I'm pretty sure.
But yeah, I guess that's something that pretty much everyone going through Komoro out would have read, because it's necessary to talk to Coco to get to Komoro. But yeah, if you do notice and you go back to the title screen where you see your little light orbs on the menu, you will notice that you have lost one. And
I did not get that.
You have to have finished Fuko route before Komoro route, which if you're following
okay,
the book
that's
club,
fine. My bad.
With that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I got a bit of
well,
a
since
sorry,
we're following
my bad.
The book
Continue.
Club. Yeah.
Is it essential? Is it required to unlock After Store?
No, it is. It is not required. That scene is not required to unlock After Story. I don't know how much I can say without being spoilers. Anyway, let's just say you need it to get the true ending. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, but not After Story. Not After Story. Anyway, so you do lose a light orb, and it. It's interesting how, like, when we look back on these routes and how these light orbs came into play, like, Yukina explains them as they appear when happiness comes. But we've also realized somehow that these light orbs can grant wishes, as we've seen in the Messiah route. Like, Shima had this light orb, and the whole point of the light orb was to grant the wish of his master, right? And when he did grant the wish, the light orb kind of disappeared and lost its power. And now, Tomoya did the same thing. Like, he was wishing for Fuko, right? And he and Nagisa were wishing for Fuko. And we as the players know that Tomoya has these light orbs, even if it is in an alternate reality. So...
Yet he still remembers Fuko.
He still remembers Fuko.
Residual. There's some...
Whether or not...
He describes it as, like, there's some sort of connection that he can't seem to... He doesn't understand, but he feels like it's someone that's important to him. It's someone that's close to him. Like, it's very kind of typical stuff. It's weird. I don't know. It's weird shit. It's definitely something that I want to, like, look at more closely, even though I can't, like, see those scenes again because I didn't make a save or anything.
Does that mean Fuko's gonna get better?
That's why there's, you know, skip button.
There's, I don't know.
So you can get to these scenes and read them again easily.
Actually, that
some
light orb scene, even
don't.
If you replay, if you replay it, you won't see it again. So I made a save file right at it, so I can go back to it. It's the same thing with the Yukina explaining the light orbs. They only happen once.
That's same with all of the light orb scenes.
Yep.
Yeah, they only happen once
because they're designed to be consistent across the story. But anyway. TLDR, in case you guys haven't noticed while reading Clanna, these light orbs can grant wishes.
Yep.
Oh, really?
One way or another.
Very interesting.
They definitely seem to be interconnected with a very strong and very specific, genuine happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what we have so far.
Well, yeah, guys, so, like, finishing this route, we're approaching the end of Clannad. We have the Nagisa route left, and following that is After Story, which is like the true ending for Clannad, or like some call it the second arc almost.
Prepare your tissues, guys.
If we consider all the character routes as the school life arc is what some people call it, then After Story is the second arc, which takes place in the story. I'm not going to talk too much about that yet, because obviously we're not yet up to it yet, but you know, how are you feeling, guys, like, coming all this way? It's been a long journey, but we're reaching the end.
I'm scared. Even reading...
I can see why you're scared, Biz.
Even, like, the last two routes, I keep, you know, I've been skipping lots and lots of stuff, because I just don't want to read it. I'm not ready. And
I guess it's time to wake the fuck up and be ready. It's like, I don't know, man. There's a lot to this fucking VN that's very, very, very relevant to me. So it's, I don't know, man. All I can tell you is that this is a really, really, really fucking good visual novel.
Yep,
it is.
I love it so far.
Ridiculously good. Oh my god.
If I may give an opinion as a first reader. I've read a couple of visual novels, and it's my first reading of Clannad, and honestly, God, it's surprisingly good. Like, at first I was like, yeah, it's gonna be good, but there should be some flaws, and then I'm reading it, and every time I read a new route, I'm like, that is crazy. Like, there's something, like, lifelike to this.
We got to Kochimi, I think, and, like, that was the point where I was like, holy shit, this route's also really good. I don't even, like, know what she was. Like, I was expecting somewhere along the line there was going to be the turd, Fuko. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, it's probably just best not waste time
Fuko
gushing.
Wasn't terrible.
It's probably
Fuko
not.
Yeah, it wasn't. I rated it average.
The thing about Clannad is, like, obviously, like, most people, I think DMV is the exception, I've actually watched the anime, so it's, like, I was kind of skeptical as to whether or not I could consider this, like, as highly as I do now. Let's just say, even though I had moderately high expectations, like, I figured it was going to be good, it has still exceeded my expectations. It just continues
good
to just blow me away. Like, there are scenes that, and characters that I would not expect to have such an attachment to, and I just do, and it's,
Before we end, I just want to bring up a key point by Helios Alpha.
We already covered
Did we? We didn't. I didn't give an answer. Yeah. He asked, should this have been an optional scene instead of a route? And I think the discussion we had already answers that. No, it was very important.
Agree.
And it's a route and not just an optional scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could call it a scene, but I don't think it should be optional.
I mean, it's the length of a scene, but it's as important as a route, because I think it's important for the, like, deeper understanding of the story, of what's going on, of where the characters are coming from, and what's going to happen. Because, you know, if it was only a scene, it would be side story, something you don't need, something that won't help you understand what the story is going, you know? Like small talk, or...
It's not like going to... It's not going to stick itself out to the reader. If the reader just sees a scene, they're not going to connect or, like, pay attention and get the "this is important" thing, like, you know, red text in the thing for Dongopedia or whatever. They're not going to get the "I need to pay attention to this" if they don't get that switch to Komura or that switch in tone. Like, they need that. I think that's actually very important. It's good directing. It's telling you this is important. You should take something from this. And that is a very just typical key novel thing, is that they write for a purpose, and, you know, there's always something in everything outside of, you know, comedy. And the comedy is usually so, like, blatant that it's usually hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, comedy is always blatant, to be fair, and just, I mean, you know, shout out to Shinohara here.
Separated. The tone is perfect in how it switches back and forth.
Yeah.
So just before we move on to Nagisa's route, I'd just like to say, I'm going to don the role of the first time reader here and just bring up the thought of, what the hell is up with those illusionary world scenes?
Oh god, yes. What the hell is this?
Out of nowhere. And they still have no explanation even this late in the game.
Because
just like,
they don't seem to be relevant to the story. I mean, I read it and I'm like, I mean, this feels really important. I see the lights in the sky floating around, but I have no clue what you're supposed to be and what, like, are you important? Or are you just like, hey, I'm going to put something in between days just to be certain to give a break of the story to people, like, to the reader? Or is it actually something important or relevant to the story? I don't understand. What is going on?
Okay, so I'm going to draw attention to a couple of clues that have presented themselves in the visual novel so far. The first you have mentioned is the light orbs. It's very clear that these light orbs bear some similarity to the light orbs that we see in the visual novel. What's the connection there? Well, we see that the Amdol makes the observation that perhaps these can't be touched, so they might be shadows being cast from somewhere else. Maybe that's something to think about. Another thing that was brought up earlier in the visual novel was in Kutomi's route. The scholar there, I forget his name or if he was even given a name, Kutomi's caregiver, brings up this idea that there was once, when the worlds were formed, you know, there was a distinct world, a hidden world that was separated from our world, but still is connected to it in some way. Maybe that's talking about the illusionary world, you know? And then we've also drawn light to the fact that these light orbs can grant wishes. Now, how does this all come together? I don't fucking know, but I'll leave that for you to think about.
There's lots of things. You can look at other things, like, why the hell are there scenes that we can only see one time? Why the hell does Tomoya know who the fuck seems to understand who Fuko is? Like, why do these light orbs that can... Why can he get them in some routes and use them in other routes? That's kind of weird.
Why is information leaking from one route to another?
It's all related! The connection!
In the words of Helios Alpha, find out in the next exciting episode of Clannad Z!
Thank you for joining us once again, DMB. And also, my special pleasure. Thanks to four members, Helios Alpha, Kanan-kun, and Zekin. And shoutouts to our live audience, Kaiofine and Helios Alpha. With that said, thank you once again for joining us, and we'll be disappearing into the shadows once more.
Watcha!
Bye-bye for now.